Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the NTPC Q4 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sudhanshu Bansal from JM Financial. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sagar. Hello everyone. On behalf of JM Financial, I welcome you all to the Q4 FY26 earnings call of NTPC. For today's call, we have with us the leadership team of NTPC led by Shri Jaikumar Srinivasan, Director of Finance, along with other functional directors and other team members. Before we proceed, I would like to congratulate Srinivasan, sir, for being conferred with the Dealmaker CFO of the Year award at the ET CFO Leadership Summit 2026 on 6th March. Recognizing his outstanding contribution to strategic transactions and value creation, hearty congratulations, sir. Now I will hand over the call to sir for his opening remarks, after which we will open the floor for Q&A session. Thank you so much, sir, for your kind presence and giving us the opportunity to host the call. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sudhanshu. I think the volume needs to be increased on your side. You were barely audible. Of course, we could understand you, but the volume needs to be increased. Please see that. So thank you and welcome you all. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Bansal, you can confirm my audibility is good?
Yes, sir. This is the operator. You are loud and clear, sir.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Jaikumar Srinivasan, Director of Finance of NTPC Limited and NTPC Green Energy Limited. It gives me pleasure to welcome you all to our earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and the financial year ended 31st March 2026. Joining me today are my colleagues from the board of NTPC: Shri Shivam Srivastava, Director of Fuel; Shri K. Shanmugasundaram, Director of Projects; Shri Ravindra Kumar, Director of Operations; Shri Anil Kumar Jadli, Director of Human Resources, along with other members of our senior leadership team. We have announced our financial results for Q4 FY26 and for the financial year ended March 2026, and I've shared the operational and financial snapshot with the stock exchange, which are available for your reference. I'll take you through the key developments covering the macroeconomic environment, developments in the power sector, and NTPC and NGEL's operational and financial performance before opening the floor for questions. The evolving situation in West Asia has once again highlighted how closely energy markets and geopolitics are linked. The developments reinforce the importance of energy security, diversification of supply chain, and building resilient domestic energy systems. Globally, countries are increasingly viewing electricity infrastructure, domestic fuel availability, and strategic energy assets not only as an economic priority but also as a matter of self-reliance and national security. From NTPC's perspective, the current developments are not expected to have any material operational impact. The coal position across all our power stations remains at comfortable levels, sufficient for nearly 18 days, ensuring stable generation and supply reliability. Further, with nearly 18% of our coal requirement being met through captive mines, fuel security for our stations is more assured than ever before. Our limited dependence on gas-based generation also insulates our gas plants' operations from volatility in the global gas market. At the same time, the ongoing global uncertainties continue to reinforce the importance of energy security and self-reliance. NTPC's long-term strategy remains aligned towards strengthening India's energy resilience through expansion across coal, renewables, storage, nuclear, and domestic energy value chains, while continuing to provide reliable, affordable, and sustainable power to the country. we have been witnessing a sharp increase in power demand since the last quarter, and the trend has further accelerated during the current quarter. According to estimates by the World Meteorological Organization, the impact of El Nino in India is expected to keep heat wave conditions elevated through the summer and post-monsoon months of 2026. If the phenomenon continues further, above normal temperature and stressed monsoon conditions may continue into early 2027 as well, leading to higher electricity demand, particularly due to increased cooling requirements. In addition, the current global situation is expected to accelerate the shift from hydrocarbons towards electricity across sectors, such as clean cooking, transportation, and industrial application. This transition is expected to further support long-term growth in electricity demand. Over the last 1 year, the Indian power sector has undergone several important developments which are reshaping the long-term outlook of power utilities. One of the most significant trends has been the increase in electricity demand driven by economic growth, rising cooling requirements, urbanization, and increased digital infrastructure. The country has witnessed record peak demand of 271 gigawatt and day generation of 6,268 million units recorded on 21st May 2026, highlighting the importance of reliable base load generation alongside renewable capacity addition. In this environment, energy security and supply reliability have become central priority for policymakers as well as utilities. At the same time, India has accelerated its clean energy transition through rapid renewable capacity addition, expansion of transmission infrastructure, and strong policy support for storage solutions. Alongside renewables, the government has also renewed focus on thermal capacity additions to maintain grid stability and meet rising demand. As per the latest CEA estimates, the additional coal capacity requirement till 2036 is projected to be 86 gigawatt, of which 68 gigawatt is in pipeline. Out of this, NTPC is currently executing 16.5 gigawatt of capacities and around 4.6 gigawatt is in various stages. Further, policy initiatives aimed at improving domestic coal production and captive mining have strengthened fuel security across the sector. Recent policy changes in nuclear energy and enactment of Shanti Act have opened new long-term opportunities for integrated power utilities. For NTPC, these developments broadly validate the company's strategy of maintaining a balanced and diversified energy portfolio. While our thermal fleets continue to play a critical role in supporting grid reliability and meeting rising demands, we are simultaneously expanding our presence across diversified portfolios. The company remains well positioned to benefit from India's long-term power demand supported by fuel security, a robust project pipeline. Now I come to the key highlights during FY26. As on 31st March 2026, NTPC's group installed capacity stood at 89,108 megawatt. During the year, we have added 9,618 megawatt of capacity. NTPC contributed 1823 megawatt and JVs and subsidiaries contributed 7,795 megawatt, making the highest ever annual capacity addition since inception. This also includes the acquisition of the 1,350 megawatt Sinnar Thermal Power Station in partnership with Mahagenco. As on date, NTPC group has crossed 90 gigawatt mark. During FY26, NTPC group added 4,738 megawatt of RE capacity. Out of this, NGL added 4,225 megawatt compared to 2,977 megawatt added in FY25. In addition, 490 megawatt have been added in FY27 till date, taking the total installed renewable energy capacity of NTPC group to 12,068 megawatt. NTPC group generation stood at 432.2 billion units in FY26 as compared to 438.7 billion units in FY25. NTPC coal station achieved PLF of 72.04 16.8% against West of India average of 63.20. We have also achieved growth of 13% in power trading through NVVNL. Generation from NGEL stood at 14.6 billion units as compared to 6.8 billion units in FY25, registering a growth of 114%. Outstanding receivable days improved to 15 days as on 31st March 26 compared to 29 days for the previous year. Coal production from group captive coal mines under commercial operation increased to 47.88 million metric ton, registering a growth of 8.5% vis-a-vis previous year. Coal production started from Pakri Barwadi Northwest mine in December 25 and mine was declared commercial operation with effect from 1st of April 2026. With the transfer of Pakri Barwadi coal mines on 1st of April 2026, the transfer of NTPC's mining business to NTPC Mining Limited, a wholly owned subsidiary, has been fully completed under the business transfer agreement. Government of India enhanced investment approval limit for renewable subsidiaries up to 20,000 crores, supporting NTPC's target of 60 gigawatt renewable capacity by 2032. Work in respect of 5 gigawatt hours BESS capacity at NTPC's existing thermal power stations is being executed under cost plus mode. CERC has issued regulations for co-located battery energy storage system, which are crucial for renewable integration and peak management. This amendment integrates energy storage system into the mainstream tariff framework. Additionally, 320 megawatt hours BESS is being executed by NGEL and further capacities are also under pipeline. On the nuclear front, AERB has granted excavation consent for Unit 1 and 2 of Mahi Banswara project. Site selection studies are also underway across multiple states for development of nuclear power projects under NTPC Parmanu Urja Nigam Limited. The last unit of 250 megawatt of Tehri PSP was declared commercial operation in April 2026. With this, Tehri PSP has become fully operational. NTPC achieved significant improvement in ESG performance during FY25-26. With MSCI ESG rating upgraded from CCC to BB, S&P CSA score improving to 50 against global average of 41 and sustained progress across leading global ESG benchmarks. During FY26, our group thermal station co-fired 15.19 lakhs metric ton of biomass, more than double as compared to 7.03 lakh metric tons used last year. On the fund mobilization front, during Q4, of FY26, loan agreement for US$150 million JPY denominated was executed with Mizuho Bank Limited. The loan carries an interest rate of 0.98% per annum over 6 months compounded Tokyo overnight average rate TONA and has the average maturity of 7 years. The door-to-door tenor of the loan is 8 years. The weighted average interest rate on borrowings during FY26 stood at 5.98%. compared to 6.61 in FY25, reflecting the benefits of proactive financing and strategic restructuring of the company's loan portfolio. As regards the capital expenditure, in FY26, we have incurred a group capex of 49,068 crores as compared to 44,636 crores in the previous year. While on the standalone basis, NTPC has incurred capex of 28,462 crores in FY26 as compared to 22,965 crores in the previous year. The gross property, plant and machinery as on 31st March 2026 on group level has increased from 4,04,210 crores to 4,70,618 crores during last 1 year, an increase of 16%. I will now take you through some of our key financial numbers, giving comparison of the corresponding period. Firstly, NTPC standalone financials. Total income for Q4 FY26 is 44,030 crores as against 45,830 crores in Q4 FY25. On annual basis, for FY26, the total income is 1,69,725 crores as compared to 1,74,414 crores in the previous year, declined by 2.69% per annum due to the lesser demand experienced during the year. NTPC's profit after tax for Q4 FY26 is 8,747 crores as against 5,778 crores in the corresponding quarter of previous year, registering a growth of 51.4%. NTPC's profit after tax for FY26 is 23,162 crores as against 19,649 crores in the previous year, registering a growth of 18%. Adjusted PAT for FY26 is 19,530 crores against rupees 18,016 crores in the previous year, registering a growth of 8%. During FY26, we have accounted for dividend income of 2,264 crores from our subsidiaries and joint ventures as against 2,092 crores during FY25. The standalone regulatory equity for conventional power and mining business as on 31st March 2026 is 94,631 crores, up from 90,902 crores as on 31st March 2025. Coming to the NTPC's consolidated group financials, total income of the group for FY26 is 1,89,799 crores as against 1,90,862 crores in FY25. Profit after tax of the group for FY26 is 27,546 crores as against 23,953 crores in FY25, registering an increase of 15%. During FY26, our subsidiaries earned a profit of 3,312 crores. NTPC's share of profit in JVs was 2,864 crores in FY26. Consolidated regulated equity for the group as a whole stood at 1,20,319 crores as on 31st March 2026 as compared to 1,08,791 crores as on 31st March 2025. Coming to NTPC Green Energy's highlights, consolidated revenue from operation increased by 29% to 2,858 crores in FY26, while operating EBITDA grew by 29% to 2,475 crores. EBITDA margin remains at 87%. For the Q4 FY26, revenue from operation for NGL group has increased to 913 crores from 622 crores in Q4 FY26, showing an increase by 47%. Operating EBITDA has also increased from 560 crores in Q4 FY25 to 775 crores in Q4 FY26, increased by 38%. I am pleased to inform that NTPC board has recommended a final dividend of FY25-26 of 3 rupee 50 paisa per share, subject to the approval of shareholders. This is in addition to the interim dividend of 5 rupee 50 paisa per share already paid during FY26. Total dividend for the FY26 will be 9 rupees per share, in line with the company's commitment to delivering value to its shareholders. We continue to pursue growth through a balanced expansion across conventional and clean energy segments while maintaining focus on fuel security, project execution and disciplined capital allocation. NTPC Group currently has over 34 gigawatt of capacity under construction, comprising 16.5 gigawatt of coal-based capacity, about 2.6 gigawatt of hydro capacity, and 15 gigawatt of renewable energy capacity, providing a strong foundation for near to medium-term growth. In parallel, we are also focusing on expanding storage capacities through BESS, pump storage projects, long-duration energy storage technologies like CO2 storage and vanadium redox flow batteries to support grid stability and renewable integration. On the thermal side, we have completed the trial operation of Patratu Stage 1 Unit 2 during Q1 FY27 and expect the third unit to be commissioned within the current fiscal year. In the renewable segment, we are planning to add around 8 gigawatt capacity. Alongside capacity addition, work has commenced at Pudimadaka Green Hydrogen Hub for development of green methanol and sustainable aviation fuel, supporting our long-term diversification into emerging energy value chains. We are progressing on coal gasification initiatives, which have the potential to support continuous utilization of gas assets using domestic resources. Over the long term, nuclear energy will remain an important pillar of our growth strategy through projects being developed under Ashwini, as well as other standalone opportunities. We believe these initiatives, supported by NTPC's diversified portfolio and regulatory business models, will continue to provide stable returns and long-term value creation. We remain committed to enhancing shareholders' value through continuous improvement, prudent growth, and operational excellence. I would like to thank all our investors for their continued trust and support. Thank you all for joining us. We will now be happy to take your questions. I now hand over to JM Financials for the coordinating the question and answers. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Your first question comes from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity. My question is, sir, how do you think about capacity addition in FY27 and FY28 given the current pipeline? And can you break the capacity addition between standalone, subs and JV? For the conventional and for the green, sir, both, yeah.
Yeah. See, the as far as FY27 is concerned, on a totality basis, we are planning around 9,557 megawatt of capacity. If I break down it into thermal, hydro, and renewable, thermal would constitute 1,070 megawatt. Hydro will be 250. And renewable total would be 8,237. Of this, 176 coming from renewables would be on a standalone basis, and 9,381 megawatt would be coming from the JVs and the subsidiaries. This is as far as FY27 is concerned. The year next, FY28, the total planned capacity addition is 10,039 megawatts, comprising of thermal 1460, hydro total will be 444, and renewable total will be 8,135. This would broadly come from a 660 megawatt will come from TTPS stage 3 unit. We are expecting in the Q3. Patratu unit 3 in the quarter 3 around 800 megawatt. So this will yield us 1460. Hydro, we are expecting hydro Vishnugad Pipalkoti of the THDC 444 megawatt. And as far as renewable is concerned, 8135 broadly. 8,069 would come from JVs and subsidiaries, predominantly the NGL, and 66 megawatt will come from NTPC itself. This is as far as the financial year 28 is concerned. In a similar way, for FY29, we are planning 11,478 total capacity. 8,408 would be renewable total. We don't expect any hydro addition during that year. Thermal total will be 3,070. The identified thermal capacity addition is TTPS stage 3 unit 2, which will come in the Q1 of the year, 660 megawatts. Lara stage 2 unit 1 and 2 will contribute to units of 800 megawatts, 1600. And we are expecting the Sinnar thermal unit 3, Q2, and unit 4 and 5 in the unit 3. These are all 270 megawatt units, three units, which will be adding in the next fiscal year, 810 megawatt. So that would be the broad breakup for the 11,478.
Understood. That's very helpful, sir. My second question is, what is the status of the nuclear power projects and where is Mahi Banswara right now? Do we expect the tender of the equipment and work to start in this fiscal? And the related question is, what is the kind of nuclear capacity you think you'll be able to commence work in next 1 to 2 years?
As far as the very first project, Mahi Banswara, is concerned, the capacity, as you know, is a 4 unit of 700 megawatt, total of 2.8 gigawatt. And broadly, this 2,770 megawatt of capacity, consent has come from the customers from Rajasthan, Gujarat, Chhattisgarh, Andhra Pradesh. The excavation package for this project is already been awarded for Unit 1 and 2 on 13th of September 2025. Excavation consent by Atomic Energy Regulatory Board, AERB, has been received on 18th of March 26. Forest clearance amendment accorded on 20th of June 25. Environmental clearance is in place in the May last year itself. The first pour of concrete is anticipated by August 2027, and first unit synchronization we are planning in November 2032. Now, in this regard, the design consultancy also has been awarded on 23rd of December 2025, and equity infusion of 800 crores to Ashwini has been done by JV partners on January 26. As far as the mega packages are concerned, nuclear islands mega EPC NIT is expected by 15th of June 26. And it will be followed by TG Island EPC NIT by 30th of March 2027. Now, so as you know that, this is by 2032, we are expecting one of this unit, and there will be a gap of, what would be a staggering gap? Six months will be the staggering for the remaining units.
And any color on the any other project which you think you can take up in the next 24 months?
No, as far as anything over and above this is concerned, we are right now in the process of identifying locations. 30 locations across India are being explored. We have entered into MOU held with MP government, Chhattisgarh government, and joint working group has been formed. And consent given by government of Andhra Pradesh, studies have been completed. MP, Gujarat, Odisha, UP, Bihar, Maharashtra has given consent for preliminary studies. Water availability has been confirmed in some of the places. So we are working on the ground level thing, availability, ensuring availability and the broad feasibility. So this is the situation. But right now, we are... under execution, we can say, is Mahi Banswara project.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Parikshit Kandapal with HDFC Securities. Please.
Yeah, sir. Hello. Am I audible? Hello.
Yes, sir. You're audible.
Yes, sir. So my first question is on NGL. So I want to understand what was the curtailment for NGL in terms of units and value for FY26 and Q4 FY26.
Now, as far as curtailment is concerned, NGL experienced a curtailment of 314 MUs during the year. This is besides loss, which we can say is 135 MUs. So these are the two things which are due to the grid situation.
And in terms of like impact on EBITDA, so if we can quantify this for the year as a whole, in terms of how much
broadly
we have lost.
You can take that as far as I would say that as far as the trust is concerned, we are compensated for that. But as regards the grid curtailment where we are experiencing because of the temporary GNA, it would have an impact close to 90 crores.
20 crores.
90,
okay.
90 crores.
Okay, 90 crores. Second question is, I mean, we have initially said that 5 and 8 gigawatt for 26, 27, 28 on the NGL capacity addition. So there has been a shortfall in FY27. So just wanted to understand for 28, 29 for the 8 gigawatts. So have we secured the transmission? So what is now the availability of transmission evacuation? And if you can also add that beyond this, I mean, are you seeing further growth drivers in the pipeline, which is currently a capacity under pipeline 3.4 gigawatts? So do you think that this number can jump substantially over the next couple of years so that this 8 can actually start growing from these levels?
See, first thing is it was not FY27, it was also FY26 that we were planning around 5 gigawatt, and we some of the units spilled over to the next year, or we expected to spill over. But as far as the current years is concerned, the 8 gigawatt, we continue to hold to that. And right now we are planning 8 gigawatt on an average of 8 gigawatt per annum. But yes, we would be exploring various other opportunities to top it up, including inorganic acquisitions. So our idea would be to, steeply increase it so that we fulfill our target of 60 gigawatt much ahead of what we are planning by 2032.
And how much of the transmission network we have secured for these FY27 and 28? So what percentage, would have been secured for these capacities to come on time? That is my last question.
See, as far as FY27 is concerned, we have the firm connectivity of 57% and TGNA of 38%. As far as FY28 is concerned, whatever CODs are expected in FY28, we have a projected firm connectivity of 88%, and 3% would be coming from the TGNA. Remaining 9% is something which we are yet to tie up. FY29, 84% we have firm connection, and remaining 16, we'll have to work on the connectivity.
Okay, sure. Thank you, sir. Those are my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Sumit Kishore from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Congrats on your highest ever group capacity addition in FY26. My first question is, for NTPC thermal heat, are there core units which are having to face the challenge of hitting technical minimum of 55% PLF during daytime when solar availability peaks? So how is NTPC managing this risk, and what is the strategy for the future? That's my first question.
See, as far as this issue of, curtailment would be wrong word, I would say the backing down of thermal to be subservient to the RE injection is concerned. We have been facing this issue, and we have had taken up this issue at a policy level that the thermal fleets will have to be supported for a technical minimum, because below this it becomes increasingly infeasible. And accordingly, there has been a very favorable pronouncement wherein we have been assured a technical minimum of 55%. If it goes down, we are not obligated to then keep the unit live, and we will be compensated for the our availability and the fixed charges. Now, added to this is, how are we trying to mitigate this? We have also advocated and got a dispensation of co-locating batteries in some of these thermal power plants whereby this would mitigate the excess, the back down power can be charged during the daytime and discharged during the evening peak for peak load management. So 5 gigawatt hours of battery work has already started, and CERC has given its tariff framework for this, supporting this thing. So this would be essentially in a cost plus framework, where we are assured of our returns, our return on equity as well as our fixed charges. And so this would, this added with the technical minimum support should see us through this problem. And going ahead, based on the experience in this initial set of co-located batteries, we can think in terms of expanding it to other, because at a national level, then it becomes a very potent, solution for managing the grid.
Is the technical minimum support approved by the regulator already, or this is something that you are lobbying with them?
No, no. As far as technical minimum of 55% is concerned, this is already the rule.
So, but if a unit reaches, if a unit goes below technical minimum,
if I have declared a certain capacity higher than the technical minimum, or let us say 85% or 100%, and the scheduling comes below 55% for some reason, and I am not obliged to run this plant, I can take a reserve shutdown, and whatever is the comfortable time required for ramping up it later on, I'll do that. So I'm not obliged to then, supply the power during the evening. So this is the protection we have got. In this respect, I would invite the Director of Operation, Mr. Ravindra, to elaborate further on this.
Moreover, when the schedule beneficiary giving schedule less than 50%, then we, as per the new regulation, as per the new amendment, that is intermediary solution, we are getting support up to 55% through the SCUC and SCED supports. So we are running maximum, we are getting the support. If we are not getting, then we are not obliged to run, and we are taking unit under shutdown condition. And for that, we are getting paid also.
Thank you, sir. My second question and last question is on pump storage project. What is the total anticipated capex for pipeline projects in pump storage, and what is likely to get incurred in the next 5 years, and which projects are likely to get commissioned first? Thank you.
Broadly, on the NTPC is working on 4,800 megawatt of PSPs. This is primarily to be executed through JV and subsidiary. THDC and NIPCO, which are the hydro subsidiaries, are working on 13,210 megawatt. So that puts the NTPC group broad plan at 18,010 megawatt. Now, out of the above, COD has been declared. The FY26 itself for 750 megawatt, that is the THDC SPSP, and COD declaration of 250 megawatt has been done in the current financial year, FY27 first quarter. So that takes it 1,000, so 1 gigawatt is already done in this, and we have projects with firm allocation by state government. NTPC has 4,800, THDC 6,800, and NIPCO 1,600. That totals to 13,200 megawatt. Balance 3,810 are under planning in THDC 3310 and NIPCO 500. Another 3 gigawatt to 5 gigawatt you can expect to be commercialized by 2032 to 33. We have prepared 21 PFR demonstrating that NTPC has the capability to develop PSP and adequate know is available. This will have an average completion time of anything 6 to 6.5, 7 years. And so this is the broad plan which we are working on. So you can expect some 3 to 5 gigawatt completion. We have the target in the next seven years.
Thank you so much, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Apoorva Bahadur from IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to check about this NGEL pipeline. When compared to previous quarter, the full pipeline, I think, has reduced from 32 gigawatts to 30 gigawatts. Can you give some color on this? Why is this reduction and which projects have been removed?
NGEL, you are saying?
Yes, sir. The Consolidated Green Business Pipeline.
Okay. Would you like to... I'll invite Mr. Neeraj Sharma, the CFO of NGEL, to elaborate on this.
Apoorva, actually we have, you can say, adjusted or actualized our total pipeline plus contracted awarded capacity that we had. We had earlier shown 32 gigawatt up to Q3 of last year. However, now we have seen where the, in which of the JVs or the subsidiaries the progress is being made and normalize the numbers. So that is why the numbers have come down from 32 to 30 gigawatt. However, there are many other MOUs or activities where we are working upon and we are expecting to increase the pipeline to beyond that in the coming days. Thank you.
Understood, sir. I think during the comments, sir also mentioned about the coal gasification plans and targets. So, sir, if you can provide some color which are the specific projects you are working on, what type of capacity and timelines?
Yeah, I will request Director of Fuel, Mr. Shivam Srivastava, to give you some details about this.
Yes, we have started regarding coal gasification. We have taken up a pilot project at one of our mine, Talaipalli, and we are going to IEL, and it has a capacity of 4 lakh tons per annum. And this is basically for synthetic natural gas production.
Okay.
It's a pilot project.
So it's in the initial stages. We will keep you updating more on as we progress.
Sure, sir. Sir, also I think on a previous question you commented that we have around 57% firm connectivity for FY27 renewable capacity addition. Did I hear it right? 57?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So should we expect some TGNLS curtailments to increase next year and then subsequently normalize?
It would temper. Like, the point is that yes, at this present point of time it is 57%, but some of the offtake will certainly happen through the TGNA depending on the circumstances. But then as the the connectivity gets added, the curtailment should taper.
Okay. Sir, on a previous question about this thermal backing down, while we appreciate the fact that companies are entitled to a 55% technical minimum, but can you share with us what is the, if there is any incremental cost being incurred for backing down to 55% in terms of higher O&M or lower heat rate, and how are we compensated for that?
No, one is the the floor percentage that it need not go below 55, and Mr. Ravinder also explained to you about the CCUS support that is available. But within this range of 100% to 55%, we are compensated for various parameters, degradation in the parameters in terms of heat rate auxiliary consumptions, and these have been kind of taken up with the regulator, and we have got very favorable dispensation over the last 2 years. And right now, we are being adequately compensated for this.
The FY26 profit number contains all the compensation benefit as well.
Of course, of course. The sales,
okay.
The sales would include all these things.
Sure, sir. Sir, if I may squeeze just one last question in. There has been some news items, news reports around a possible listing of THDC, NEEPCO and Hindustan Urvarak. If there are any plans, would you like to share them?
So there are no definitive plans at this point of time. As a group, we keep exploring all these avenues for as a part of our financial strategies and unlocking value. This is one of the options that is available. But because this involves, this is a joint venture, this THDC Concentral joint venture with the UP government. These are matters which has to be dealt at the fairly senior policy level. So once we have a clear mandate on this, we'll share with you.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Aditya Sahu from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Just a couple of data points over here. If you could provide the quarterly CUF that we have for solar and wind projects for Q4.
Quarterly CUF?
Yes, for solar and wind projects for Q4.
1 second, just one. We have noted down. Can you meanwhile go to the second question? We'll give it to you.
Sure, sir. Sure. The other one was in the FY27 and 28. What sort of capex guidance are we? Do we have particularly for NGEL at consolidated NGEL?
Capex guidance? Yes. See, as far as the you have been specific about NGL, so let me give you that we have a broad capex for the group of 6,22,000 till the financial year 32, and we have allocated roughly half of that, around 3 lakh crores for renewable energy. So this should broadly be done by NGL. I don't have a year-wise breakup for that, much as I have a year-wise breakup of the entire thing. But let me try and see if I have a... Yes, for NGL, for current year, it would be capex of 35,800.
Okay.
So next year, it would be 6,000. And the year next, it would be 48,000.
Understood.
So we'll be implementing a debt equity of 80-20, so you can have the debt and equity component.
Understood, sir. This number on an annual basis, the bifurcation in the other expenses pertaining to how much of that would be the component for power charge, the O&M that you for the NGEL consolidated?
There's a lack of clarity. You heard, can you be louder and...
Can you hear me now?
I didn't get you. Yeah, this is much clearer. Yeah.
Pertaining to the other expenses. If you could provide the component towards power charges and the O&M that we do at NGL consolidated for FY26.
So Aditya, we can provide you those data numbers later.
Sure. Just one last question over here. While you had mentioned the transmission tie-up is that in terms of the PPA tie-up for the capacities that we plan to commission, what percentage do we have for 27 and 28 in terms of the PPA tie-up?
We have over the next 3 years, we have a broadly an average 72 to 75% capacities have been PPAs already in place. For FY27, it is 79%. FY28 CODs of 8,069 megawatt, we are already covered with 71% PPA. And the year next, around 8,400 megawatt is 66%.
Understood, sir. Understood.
Will be.
Understood, sir. Just on the CF, sir, I'll wait for that, and I'll go back to the line.
So breakup of other expense we'll provide to you. We have noted down. We'll fulfill your requirement.
Sure. Sir. On the CF part also, if that would be possible, that would be helpful for the solar and wind Q4.
Yes, sure. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Arihant from Bowhead India Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my questions. Sir, I wanted to know, do we have, you know, any plans of doing battery storage in existing renewable projects, co-location of battery storage? And the second question was regarding the 1.5 gigawatt renewable project that we are planning to do in NTPC Rajasthan Green Energy Limited. What's the update on that, and when can we expect that project to be completed?
Yeah, your first question was on battery. So let me tell you that yes, we are embarked on battery storage as far as renewable is concerned. Besides, of course, the co-located battery for thermal, which I was mentioning, 5 gigawatt hour, we are currently working on 1320 megawatt of batteries on the renewable side. On the standalone project of battery, it is 320 megawatt, which is under execution, and confirm offtake arrangement is there. And co-located with solar projects, it will be 1000 megawatt, which is under tendering right now. Now execution is yet to start, but there is a confirmed offtake arrangement. So right now 1320 megawatt we are working on, but there are around 4 gigawatt more which is under planning stage right now, which would be at Khavda, it would be Bikaner, Fatehgarh, Sitapur, and one which is Chhattisgarh. So all this put together would be close to 4 gigawatt. And in addition, we are also, as you are aware about the non-solar connectivity, so we are in addition, application for non-solar hour connectivity of 14.58 gigawatt has been applied and with bests of 2 to 4 hour capacity, which is under initial stages of planning right now.
Okay, sir. And regarding the Rajasthan 1.5 gigawatt solar project which we are doing in Rajasthan JV, what's the update on that?
I will request Mr. Sarit Maheshwari, the CEO of NGL, to give you the exact detail about this.
See, we have already moved ahead quite a bit on the 1.5 gigawatt project. We have the land in possession. We have also entered into the tie-up for the implementation support agreement and other things. We are currently working out the commercial offtake arrangements with Rajasthan, and all the tendering activities, everything has been completed. And once we reach that the commercial settlement of agreements on the offtake front, we will immediately move ahead with that project.
Okay. And sir, one more question regarding competitive bidding. Like in FY26, the projects won under tariff competitive bidding were low. So just wanted to understand, like, we were focusing more on execution of current projects. What was the reason for, you know, low bidding? And do we expect to get back to 2-3 gigawatt winning levels through tariff competitive bidding, which we have done earlier in FY 24-25?
you've seen the way the biddings have happened in the last year, and NGL always has its threshold levels before which when we do not find merit in the competitive bid, we stay away. So we are always keenly looking at the various opportunities that come by, and we would continue to participate, and we will have the business at our terms.
Okay. And sir, one last question. Can you tell, like, out of 8 gigawatt capacity which we are planning to add in FY27 and 28 in NGL, how much of that will come through JVs? Any rough idea on that?
So in FY27, out of the 8 gigawatt, around 1.9 gigawatt would come through JVs, primarily through Ayana, and a part of that would come through a JV with IOCL, that is INGEL. And in FY28, out of the 8 gigawatt, around 624 megawatt would come through the JV route.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from Dashant Jain from Quasar Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Thanks for the opportunity. Yeah. So thanks for the opportunity. Just check, so what was the reasons for other expenses to go up significantly on Y-on-Y and Q-on-Q basis?
No, not clear. Please repeat.
So, am I audible now, sir?
Yeah, you are audible.
Yeah, so what was the reasons for other expenses to significantly increase on a Y-on-Y and Q-on-Q basis?
This is in NGL or NTPC?
NTPC, the consolidated results.
Okay, just a second.
Sure.
If you see the other expense, it has gone up by from 5,806 to 6,972. This is on a standalone basis, which is 20% above. Now, if you see, there is an exchange rate variation of significant exchange rate variation of 784 crores. But however, what happens is in the cost plus framework, the corresponding, we are entitled to the corresponding compensation for the ERV. So that corresponding regulatory income of 780 crores is available on the sales side. And we have also provided for some 478 crores provisioning. 193 pertains to ESL and 149 NBPPL and 100 crores for GRIDA. So these are some one-time provisions which we have made.
Okay, fair.
And
just fair.
Ash transportation expenses. Ash. Okay. Please continue.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
There is a nominal increase in the O&M expenses year on year, which we are entitled to 198 crores. So all this is contributing to this figure.
Okay, sure, sir. And sir, just a basic question. Like, how do we reconcile the capacity addition growth with respect to the revenue growth? Before an investor, what factors should we keep in mind to understand the financials? Like, the capacity addition has been happening, but if you look at the revenue terms, it has not, like, it has been flat or very low single digit. So how should we reconcile those things?
See, the effect is because of some composite factors. Capacity addition happens where your megawatt increases. However, on the thermal side, if you are aware that the plant load factor compared to the past has been low because of the lower demand during the daytime, during the solar hours because of the RE injection, isn't it? Now, because of that, although I am compensated for the your fixed charges, because of the lower generation, my sales is also down to that extent, and to the extent my fuel cost also goes down, while my bottom line is protected.
So basically, the compensation is like we are, the bottom line is getting protected because we get a confirmation from the government or whatever, right? Even if the demand has been low.
See the demand. See when the demand is low, the offtake is low. If the offtake is low, to that extent, I have to back down my generation. Because of the backing down of generation, my fuel cost also. I don't fire that much fuel. So my cost also goes down, my revenue also goes down because of the lower offtake. Whereas my margins are protected because my fixed charges, once my plants are available, the fixed charges has to be given to me, which includes the element of return on equity. So my investment is protected.
Okay. Fair enough. Sure. Thank you, sir.
Separately also, we can later on have a discussion on this.
Sure, sir, I'll take this offline. No issues.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you so much on behalf of both NTPC and NGL. I extend my sincere thanks to the Government of India, especially the Ministry of Power and Ministry of New and Renewable Energy, for their continued guidance and support. We place on record our gratitude to our investors and analysts for their continued participation and the trust and confidence reposed in NTPC. I thank all the participants who have joined this call. I would also like to express my sincere thanks to my fellow members on the board for their continued support and guidance. I take this also opportunity to express our appreciation to JM Financials for organizing this earning conference call and facilitating interaction with the investors and analyst community. Any further queries or clarification may kindly be addressed to NTPC's investor relations department, in addition to whatever we have already promised to supplement this thing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of JM Financial, that concludes this conference. Thank you everyone for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.